Welcome to First Friday Breakfast Club, first event of our new year. In the event you haven't already met him, it's my pleasure to introduce Jason Clayworth, a respected journalist with Axios for 4 years now. Prior to joining Axios, Jason worked as a reporter for 22 years at the Des Moines Register. He was a longtime city government reporter before he covered the Iowa legislature, politics, caucuses, etc. And his last incarnation at the paper, he was an investigative journalist. So this is from Deb. I first met Jason during my time in state government. I'm happy to say that our connection continues. A couple of fond memories, his series back in the day on lost schools. Maybe you can tell us about that. And maybe the little farmhouse schools in the country, maybe that'd be kind of cool. My parents said they went to a one-room school. The fact that he's the first guy to participate and place in the Iowa State Fair Husband Calling Contest. That's something to put on your resume. Jason grew up in Southern Iowa, graduated in a high school class of 22 students, and went on to graduate from Drake University. He's lived in Des Moines most of his adult life. Jason and his husband, Joe, reside in Sherman Hill, a neighborhood where they've turned several vacant city lots into garden space. He enjoys treasure hunts at auctions, garage sales, and thrift stores. And if you think he's wearing your old shirt, he probably is. Thank you, Deb, for that bit of humor. With that, please join me in welcoming Jason.
I am to join us today and be here. I think that voices in our community are very important, and a group like this is extremely important to our community. And as a journalist, I want everybody to have that voice, regardless of our views, our politics, and be able to talk. And I think that that's very important. So thank you for that. As we mentioned, I grew up in Iowa. Worked at the Des Moines Register for decades, and have been at Axios since 2021. This is just finished our fourth year. Been with the same guy for 22 years, and married since that was legal in 2019. So, I want to just say that. Part of the honor of being here is I remember when Jonathan Wilson, who started this group, had fought so hard to be where he is and to be a school board member. I remember that I was a student at Drake at the time. I interviewed him, and I remember that ordeal. And so with that history and knowing what this group means and what this group stands for, and the voice that you brought to our community, it's extremely important. And so that's really an honor for me to be part of this group. Just a little introduction of Axios, because sometimes people don't fully know what we are. Even still today, we've been around for 4 years, but we're still gaining a lot of members. People are still learning about us. And just a little introduction. We're based in Arlington, and we were started in 2017 by some of the former journalists of Politico, Jim Vandehei, Mike Allen, Roy Schwartz. They started this, and often I get the question of what does Axios mean, or how did that name come about? And it's a term meaning, it's a Greek term meaning worthy of, and I'm not exactly sure how or who came up with that, but that's what that means. Cox Enterprises purchased us in 2001. Or 2022, excuse me, a couple of years ago. So we've been around for a little bit, and they are part of us, part of our group. Axios Des Moines, as I mentioned, started in 21. We were one of the first four local newsletters that started in the country. Des Moines, Minneapolis, Denver, and Tampa were the first four that started. And Des Moines was chosen partly because of our location. We're centrally located, but also our influence in politics. We have the caucuses going on. And also there was seen as a need for community news, local news. And so that's why Des Moines was chosen as one of the first ones. We now have 30 local newsletters, and we're growing, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. So our first edition was almost 4 years ago now, in February of 21. It's a daily newsletter. If you don't subscribe, there's cards on the table. Feel free to take those, and you can sign up. It's a free daily newsletter, five days a week, Monday through Friday. And the point of it is to inform the community of what's going on in your local community. We're hyper-local. We're Des Moines. Focus on things including city government, county government, the arts, anything that's going on. It's intended so that you get your local news within like 3 minutes. And it's a format that's on your phone, so that it's modern readers, because many of us aren't reading long form journalism anymore. We're reading on our phones, and I'll talk about that a little bit more too, but that's the hope and what we are about. We've got nearly 75,000 subscribers now. I'm extremely proud of that. These are people that are active readers. We have a system that kicks you off after you don't open one of our emails for, I think it's a month. So these are people that are actively engaged in our newsletter. So I'm extremely proud of that. The two key journalists, myself and Lynn Taw. And Lynn is also, I worked with Lynn at the Des Moines Register, and she worked at the Capital Dispatch as well. So she's an experienced seasoned journalist as well, and knows the community very, very well, and helps put this together. And just a little bit of background on Axios and kind of where our philosophies are, as I mentioned, our format is really, it's short. Usually it's 4 to 6 stories, and bullet points. It's for people to read that quickly. And our manifesto is that we want to bring smart, modern, trustworthy local news to every community in America. And that's the goal. And so I can tell you that in our conversations with some of the founders, they actually have up on their wall a list of, and I think there's 200 or 300 cities on there that they hope to expand to eventually. And so we're, again, we'll talk about that in a little bit, where we're at and where we're going. But the hope is that we expand this format to everywhere. We think that everyone needs and deserves high quality reporting, and so that is the mission that we have. We think that this format is a solution to what we're seeing in the larger media and the death of some of our news media, and talk about the effects of that in just a few slides down. Our philosophy is that too many assume that local reporting is dead and can't be revived. We don't believe that. We think that we're showing that we can and are turning things around with local news, and that this is an opportunity for our communities to grow and prosper through knowledge and what's going on in the community. All of our local newsletters are written by some of the top journalists. Axios recruits people, journalists that are highly experienced and have lived in their communities most of the time decades. So these are people that they're us, they're part of our community. They're part of the voice of the newsletter. And if you read the newsletter, oftentimes it does have a voice, and we see it as a conversation among community members. And I really do see it that way. So I encourage you, as you read the newsletter, if you have questions, concerns, or thoughts, that helps us. That helps us as much as reading it every day or being a member. Just the response and our, the feedback, that's very important to us, and we very much appreciate that. Our focus is to try to be as clean and focused on local news as possible. We do have breaking news alerts. We're not primarily a breaking news site, and we try to limit that because we don't want to overwhelm our readers with in their inbox every morning or every 5 minutes. But when big news happens that we think you need to know about, we do occasionally send out those alerts. And for those of you that subscribe, you can change your subscriptions and monitor those as you like, or narrow those down if you wish. Most of our stories don't have a lot of quotes, and that's purposeful. Again, we're trying to be a really speedy read, and try not to bog the reader down. We want you to know what's going on very quickly. So I get that question a lot: why we don't quote more? And the reason is because people speak kind of, it slows the reader down oftentimes, and we say it faster, quicker, in just plain words. Wanted to talk a little bit about the state of journalism itself. We all know that journalism has changed a great deal in the last few decades. When I started at the Des Moines Register in 1998, I remember I walked into the newsroom, and it was just this roar of people talking and typing, and they didn't have their internet site just yet. It was still in the process of really coming alive. And at the time, the circulation of the Sunday was over 200,000. It was amazing. Hundreds of journalists in this room. When I left in very late 2020, there were something like 35. That was a massive cut. And it was something that every year there would be a cut after cut after cut. And so we're seeing this, and this isn't just the Des Moines Register. This is not to say anything bad about the Des Moines Register. This is a reality that is everywhere. And it's devastating to our communities because you're not knowing what's going on in your own backyards. We're not getting news about city governments, county governments. You're not, many times we don't know what's going on. And so what's happening is people are oftentimes getting their news from Facebook, where you can block things that you disagree with or you don't like. And all of a sudden our views are becoming very, very narrow. And we're only seeing what we want to see. It's a problem, and there are studies that have shown how many papers we've lost, literally thousands of papers since 2005. There have been roughly you see from on the stats here. From roughly 6,000 newspapers left in the U.S., down almost 3,000 just since 2005. So this is a massive cut, massive loss, and it's, again, devastating to our communities. There are studies that show how readers have changed, and the vast majority of people now are getting their news on smartphones. That's how we're reading, and so that's partly why, that's largely why Axios exists. We're trying to format our news to modern readers. This is just to show, this is from the nonprofit American Journalism Project has done a number of studies showing that the loss of media is contributing to polarization, and in many instances a decrease in voting and also government accountability. And that's really a big deal. When you talk about government accountability, not knowing again what's going on in your community, the voice, no people's feedback to our elected officials helps them make better decisions. And there are studies that show that communities that have strong journalism have more efficient government because of that feedback. So there is a parallel, a connection, it is something that helps our communities a great deal. So there's a reason for journalism and its assistance to our communities. What's next for Axios is these are the 30 communities that we're currently located in. Again, I mentioned Des Moines was one of the first, and through the last 4 years, we've grown, added newsletters every year. Generally, they're a two-person team, like myself and Lynn, and there's a few that have three. We're experimenting with a one-person team. That's coming up this year. These are the four new cities that we're adding. Kansas City, which I'm kind of excited about. It's a close neighbor. Encourage anybody that is has interest in any of these communities to sign up. Again, it's very much like our newsletter in terms of the number of days and the format, but they're highly localized, and you can learn about your community through these different newsletters. Boulder, Colorado, Huntsville, and Pittsburgh are also being added in this year. How you can help, going back to feedback, readership are the key things for me. I try to respond to all emails, so not always punctual or the same day I get a lot of emails, but I always try. So respond back is respond if you see something that helps us a great deal. Subscribe is a great deal. Talk about us, share our newsletters. It's a big help for us. And we also have membership, which is voluntary, but people who are members of Axios, you can start with as little as $50 a year. And that provides you access to some of our activities. And occasionally we do activities last year we did a private tour of Woodland Cemetery, and some of our community members provided that tour. Another time we went to the Iowa State Fair and did the behind the scenes with the CEO of the State Fair. So there's some things that we offer through that, but that's another way that you can contribute and be a part of us. And that's just a rundown of what we are. And I welcome your questions and comments.
We are.
Yes. That's how, yeah. Absolutely. We have ads every week. And that's another way that that the community can support us as well as ads. We're primarily driven by ad revenue.
Is that a bigger percentage of your profit versus membership?
Absolutely. So the question was, are we ad revenue supported? Yes, primarily ad revenue supported. Our membership is we have around 500 in Des Moines that's member driven. So that helps us a great deal. It helps us provide special events and expand our coverage. But the main drive of our revenue source are ads, and many of them are local, and so that's important to us as well. And you know, a big way to support Axios. I will mention that I often get questions from folks that ask about other media, and I encourage everyone to support all of your local media, the Des Moines Register, KCCI, whatever it might be. Please do. We need all of these voices in our community. And the more, the better. We're not trying to replace one media or the other. That's not what we're trying to do. That's not our goal. We think that the more voices, the better. Encourage that. You'll see in our daily newsletter that we have a roundup of news that others are working on. We tend not to try to report again what others have reported. If somebody's reported it, we generally link to their articles and we show you where to go if you want to read more, or if you want to go deeper. That's very important. So these other media groups are important to us. We almost see them as part of our newsroom in some ways, because it helps provide information to the community. That was a great question. Thank you. Yes. So the comment was misleading headlines and information that's hard to find in an article that's buried. Am I summarizing that fairly? That's so part of our format is very short, brief, and I believe that our format helps combat some of those problems. I agree with you that there are times when there are news articles that it's hard to find what the headline is referencing or the real news item in that. It's a fair comment. And it's also part of our changing our readership, how we're changing as readers. We want that news fast. We're reading on our phones and many times. So I hope and believe that Axios does that. If you ever see a news headline that isn't fair, let us know. That helps us as well. But I understand that. I think that's a fair comment and one that we all, as journalists, always work on, regardless of what format we're in. We don't want to be misleading. And so that's that can be a problem. Yes.
So love Axios. First thing I read every morning.
Thank you.
Go through my news. You guys are the first thing I look at. I'm curious about, since you said, again, it's really hyper-focused on Des Moines, but yet we know there's a bigger organization behind that. Do you feel like you are pretty autonomous here locally, that you can kind of control most things? Or how are you affected by the bigger parent company, Axios, or what influence do they have on you as a local newsletter?
Okay. The question is whether or not Axios Des Moines has autonomy, and how the larger organization influences our coverage. I can say that Lynn and I decide almost unilaterally what we're covering. We have an amazing amount of trust given to us in what is news in our community and what's important and what matters in our community. It's really an amazing situation. And as a journalist, I really deeply appreciate that. So there's always, as a larger news organization, different things that are going on, things that we're watching. Sometimes we share coverage of some things, but we localize even the stories that are national. You'll see sometimes there are statistics, or it might be even a weather story, but we try to localize that to be more pertinent and informative of what's going on in the Des Moines community. So it's not just stats or a local or a national data. It's looking why it matters here. But I would say that probably 90%+ of what we write is what Lynn and I have come up with, our ideas, and again, feedback from the community. I keep a list of stories that I hear mostly from readers. Also, I comb city council agendas and county supervisor agendas, and watch for what's going on. And I keep a list of those. We have hundreds of story ideas, mostly from folks like yourself that email us and talk with us. It's vitally important to us to have that feedback and to know, because, you know, that's many times the only way that we know what's going on that influences us a great deal. So that was a great question. Thank you.
How about that? To the talk about a news alert and it's fast versus a profile that's maybe researched and nuanced over time. What's sort of from start to finish on a short story versus a more in-depth story?
So the question was the difference between kind of a short, fast story versus a news alert, or a news alert versus a more in-depth story. At Axios, all of our stories are the same format. They're quick, fast. And even our investigations, we recently published one on Croto. And even that, a very quick read, even though it took months, I literally went through hundreds of court documents for that. But still, at the end of the day, it comes out to a 1,000-word newsletter with 4 or 5 stories. That's it. And so that's what you get. You're always going to get that format. We do link out more to stories that or to information that people can use. But we're always going to have that format because we believe so strongly that in that readers want their information quickly, and we believe very strongly in that. So for the reader, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, it's just the matter of the subject material and how, you know, succinct it is. But for the most part, you're going to see the same thing for us, for Axios. I can say as a news, whenever I worked in it for the Des Moines Register, it was much different. Long form journalism is quite a bit different. And, you know, you can see the difference when you open the paper. So, yeah, thank you. So the comment was, for those that are online, that there's really no way for two people to cover a community where at one point we had hundreds of journalists covering. I agree with that completely. And part of the reason that that we rely so heavily on other media, there is room for us and hundreds more in this community alone. I mean, there's a lot going on that we never hear about, that we never write about. There's a lot. And so that's absolutely true. I think that's true in every community. It's just a simple reality that we're in. We think that this is a format that at least helps us get down the road of better coverage or more coverage. But you're right. Any of us could go to any of our city governments. There are 12 plus, I don't know how many cities are in our metro area, but every single one of them have really interesting and rich things that are going on, important things that affect our daily lives. Our local governments affect our lives far more directly than federal and state governments. And so they're really important. They affect everything from our trash collection to our streets to, you know, animal control, whatever it might be. And these are things that affect us directly. And yet they are covered the least. And there is a lot that's missing. Absolutely, there is. There's far more to do. There's always, you know, at the end of the day, there's always stories left on the table. Always. And to be honest, that was the way it was even back whenever I started in the late 90s, my career. That's always been the case and probably always will be, and, you know, a reality. But I appreciate that comment because it's absolutely on point. Thank you. Yes. So the question comment is that buried in email, and I relate to that and understand that completely. And if there are other ways to read Axios, we have an online site, and so you can view that at any time, obviously, and bookmark that. Our focus is email, however, and the daily newsletter, and that is our primary focus. And so many of our stories end up online, but not all of them. The newsletter, again, is intended to be this conversation, and there are stories that are part of that newsletter that don't go online. And so, and that's intentional. We think that this format works, that again, part of this conversation among readers, but you can read most of the main stories online. We don't have an app. So we did have an app previously, and we just felt that we needed to stay focused on our key format. We don't chase clicks. I've never had an editor at Axios say this story didn't do well online, because while we care, we want you to read online. Of course we do. We want all the readers that we can get. Our focus again is this newsletter, and we have 75,000 readers. That's really, really important to us. We take that very seriously, and that's what we strive for. That was a great comment too. And I'm look forward to talking with you. Story tips. So the question is if our advertising is local as well. We have folks that are focused on the Midwest, not specifically in here in Des Moines. My editor is in Michigan. I had a longtime copy editor that was in Spain. Len and I are here. So again, that's partly the focus of having Len and I here. Axios puts a lot of faith in us that we know what we're covering. But the ad folks there, they've got our team in the Midwest, and they do go out. They'll meet with folks. So if you are advertisers, please consider advertising with us. That's obviously a very big deal for us, very important for us, that revenue, and that keeps us going. So, and we do have a great deal of local advertisers, and that's, I'm very grateful for that, thankful, very important for us. And I like to see that, that we have that local connection with our community. Yeah. So the question is, how does corporate bias influence journalism? I can only speak from my own experience, and I can say that at every place that I've worked at, I've not ever written a story, and because I don't even know until that newsletter comes out, I don't even know who the advertiser is. There is a complete divide between myself and the ad folks. That comes with consequence at times. There have been situations where folks have dropped their ads because they're not happy with the coverage. We're probably all aware of situations in our local community where that's happened. I'm not aware of that happening at Axios, but I know that it's happened at the Des Moines Register and KCCI and WHO. All of them have had situations where some of their news coverage has affected their advertisers. So, I'm not aware that that has ever, in my experiences, that's not happened. I can see where that there would be a perception of that, but in my experiences, I have not encountered that. So, thankfully, that's a good thing. That was a great question. Thank you. This is my 30th year in journalism. Yeah. Mm. So the question is, how has my job changed over the years? Some of the biggest ways it has changed is just technology itself. In many ways, my job has become easier because I can now, instead of going to a city council meeting, I can Zoom in and I can watch it. Or, you know, I can watch the sheriff give a budget presentation, for example, and I don't have to go there. And that takes a lot of time. So driving there and sitting down and having conversations with people, which I love to do, but at the same time, we're very fast paced. So technology is assisted in that way. In the old days, we had tape recorders where we'd record conversations and you'd have to go back and transcribe. That is many times we have AI now that can help us transcribe quickly, and we know exactly what people say. It helps with quotes and accuracy. There are a lot of great things that have helped. As I mentioned before, there are a lot fewer journalists, so there's some bad sides to this too. We've lost a considerable number of journalists in our community. That's a big deal, but we also have the ability to cover a little bit more ground. And I think with Axios's format, we cover a lot more ground. I think it's a very smart way of providing information to our communities. So those are some of the key things that have changed. A lot of the corporate structures of the television stations and some of our newspaper conglomerates, they continue to get larger and squeeze tighter. And so I've seen that a whole lot. And that's been quite unfortunate watching that. But that is a reality of where we're at. And I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. It's a real pleasure to talk with you all. I really deeply appreciate you being here. I think that have an important voice in our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason. I'm sure Jason's expertise is more in reporting and not like stand-up comedy. But I certainly appreciate Axios reporting, and I think I probably got connected with it through Deb because I met Jason at something at Fort Des Moines after, I think shortly after they opened, there was a reason we were over there. I think we got a tour or something, but I do find their newsletter so concise and it's just really, it's a similar format. Things are always covered a certain way. And then there's always a read more. So it's a short read, but if you really want to go in depth, quite often they have links to that. Axios is filling an important void left following the consolidation of so many news services that do little to serve local communities. That's all. Their news seems to be definitely more profit driven. We're fortunate to have Axios, who have hired talented reporters like Jason, who have many years of experience in our community. So if you've not signed up for Axios, I encourage you at least try it. You'll find it, I think, worthwhile to catch up. I always learn something, even just that I should know about. A restaurant in the East Village that opened and didn't know about it. Like, wow, maybe I have to try that. So with that, upcoming speakers. Next month, we will have fraud fighters, Mike and Sally Merritt, who will talk about how to avoid scams. We can all learn from that. They're constantly figuring out new ways to steal from us. I always fear my mother on the phone, like, don't click any links. And she does well so far. March meeting, March 7th, we will have the director of Des Moines Public Library, Susan Woody. I think that'll be very interesting, particularly talking about the issue with books and banned books. And April 4th, Catch Des Moines president and CEO Greg Edwards. That if you haven't gone to Catch Des Moines, I went there recently because I'm like, oh, I should look at that. They really have an amazing website and there's a lot of information there. May executive director of NAMI, Ryan Crane, who was a former FFPC board member, and May happens to be Mental Health Month as well. And our scholarship awards, we have the Superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools. So see our website for upcoming speakers. We constantly fill that in and let us know if you have anyone you'd like, you think, add to our list. And also, I encourage you to invite others to join us in the morning